everybody. Welcome to Magic the Amateuring, week 4.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thanks, Ben. I'm Maria.
This is Megan.
And I'm Ben. And guys, something feels different.
Something does feel different, but what is it?
I don't know. Wait, is there someone else in the room with us?
Is it a ghost?
I don't know. Megan. I get a distinct feeling that someone else is here, guys.
Can you see ghosts?
Usually, yes. But I'm not detecting one now.
Oh, you mean like a real person?
I think a real person is in the room.
A real pro, guys. We have a real pro with us.
What?
Hi, I'm Dave.
Oh, it's Dave!
It's Dave, yay!
Dave Yetka, thanks so much for joining us this week.
Yeah, anytime.
So recently, guys, my brother and I went and we played in a PTQ, and we actually scored the winner of that PTQ, and so he's going to tell us all about how it's done.
Yeah, I think this is really appropriate, too, since this podcast is about just learning to play the game. Mm-hmm. Being an enthusiastic amateur mm-hmm. at Magic. And here we have somebody who is...
He's the most enthusiastic amateur.
I'm
nothing if not enthusiastic.
Are you technically an amateur? Or can we call you a pro?
Basically how that works is until you qualify for a pro tour, you are considered an amateur. Or until you score, I think it's any pro points.
Sure.
Me and my friend Matthias qualified, so we were amateurs until like I think 2 or 3 years ago, and he ended up that year that you score your first point, you start being qualified for Rookie of the Year or whatever, and he actually won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so
is that nationwide?
Yeah, that's in the world.
World.
Pretty awesome.
So that just
I didn't do any of that, but I know him.
I'm gonna pretend you did for the sake of this podcast. Yeah.
So
technically you're a pro.
Technically I'm a pro, but it definitely
how many pro points do you have?
Wow.
Pro points, not many, like 13.
Oh, so. Not bad. Not
That's
bad.
13 more than the three of us.
What is
combined?
What is a high number of pro points? So that 13 means nothing to me.
Once you get to like, I'd say an impressive amount is like 50, but like once you get to about 100, you should be pretty well recognized.
Wow. Yeah, like the Hall of Famers have like
200, yeah, like 150 and up, yeah. I've beaten a few Hall of Famers.
Nice.
I haven't.
How did that
there.
Feel?
One of them I didn't even know. He was like from Finland or something. But someone else told me Ken Burrell. He's like this.
That's a Hall of Famer. 40-year-old.
Might be older, but he's an old-time Magic player. And he's like,
nice.
Do you know what you just did?
Do you know what you just did?
That made me think of a
You're
question.
You're so screwed.
He's gonna get you. So when you play people that are like from Finland, do you ever play people that don't speak English at all?
That can happen, yeah. It happens a lot because there's a big Asian scene, especially Japan, mm-hmm. and a lot of Japanese people who play Magic either don't speak English or speak like very, very little English. But typically, in those tournaments, there's always judges everywhere, but there will be one or two judges that can, like, bridge the language gap. But in competitive Magic, there really isn't that much talking necessary. Like,
yeah.
Very little, actually. So, I mean, there are some people who talk all the time, but you definitely don't need to do that.
Yeah, usually, like, just pointing, and you can be like, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And if it's not obvious, usually the thing you're trying to do is pretty obvious, because
exactly.
It's just whatever is the thing that makes the most sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if it's ever not clear, you just call a judge,
mm-hmm.
and then the judge sorts out, you know, what's happening.
You guys, Magic is the universal language.
It is. It's not love or math.
Or even
it's magic.
Esperanto. It's magic.
Contentan noskiji tagon.
Is that for real?
That means happy birthday, you guys. You can use that.
One more time.
Contentan noskiji tagon.
Did you get that from that one movie that William Shatner was in?
No, I've never seen that. I wish.
Wait, what movie are you talking about?
It's all Esperanto.
William Shatner speaks Esperanto.
Wow.
I'm still waiting for them to print the first set of magic cards in Esperanto. I'm sure it's going to happen.
I knew I was learning Welsh for a reason.
Actually, that makes me think. I was looking up Gatecrash spoilers this morning.
Okay.
Because that's what I was doing.
Yeah, why not?
Exactly.
I've done that.
And one of them was printed in a language that I don't speak. I'm pretty sure it was French because it had a lot of accents on all of the E's. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So the way they do the spoilers is they'll give different like media outlets. They'll be like, oh, here's your spoiler. And that way they kind of spread out like how much exposure they can get the set before it comes out. And so some of those will be like foreign language sites or magazines or whatever.
Oh, I was wondering.
Yeah, so that's why some of them, like we've only seen them as foreign language cards. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think Magic gets printed in like 10 or more different languages.
Yeah, a lot. And they take those spoilers seriously. They've had like lot of problems in the past of the sets getting spoiled too soon.
Yeah. There were a couple French players that got banned. Like they were top level players.
Yeah, Guillaume Wafatapa and Guillaume Matignon. They're like two of the best players in the world.
And they got banned because they were
for life?
They were like writing for for a year or two.
It was originally for 2 years, but they reduced the sentence
for good behavior.
Like I don't know them, but like I know of them, and they're like really stand up players. They've never cheated or anything.
Yeah, but they had like access to the spoiler ahead of time, so like they'd seen it like weeks before all the other pros, which is obviously an unfair advantage because then they can, you know, start playing with the cards and figure out how they work and what the best strategy is.
Yeah, and that wasn't even against the rules. The fact that they had that insider information, because I think it was like for a website or something, they're allowed to see that. But the problem was is they showed other people and then it got out early.
Aww.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then they freaked out.
It's a whole big mess, you guys. Scandal.
Okay. Wow. Watch where you step.
Wizards of the Coast has a long arm of the law.
It's true.
Wizard sleeve.
Cheating, both in like that sense of having advanced knowledge and actually just cheating in tournaments and trying to pull stuff, or like slow playing, trying to like
to
make your opponent draw out has definitely been an issue.
Have you witnessed that at tournaments, Dave?
Oh yeah. No, like that's slow playing. It's basically each round is 50 minutes. And some people will intentionally play slow because if I were to win game one and you were to win game two and game three doesn't end, it's a draw. So if I know I'm going to lose game three, but there's only 8 minutes left on the clock, I might, you know, really have a tough decision all of a sudden, you know. And
what can you do about that, though?
You can call a judge. Like one of the top players in the world, I think it was Saito. Tamaharu Saito, Japanese player. He got a slow playing a warning, but like they went back and they are like pretty sure he was doing it on purpose because he was like reading cards and he was like one of the best players in the world. He knows what every single card does.
Wasn't he reading Jace?
Jace.
This is like
what does this do?
This is a card that's like the best known card in the format. Like almost everyone is playing this card, and he's like, I just gotta read it just one more time.
Yeah, and it was against a different pro who goes to the U of M. His name's Jason Ford, and so you know, if he had been doing that against just a random dude, there's probably a good chance they wouldn't have called the judge. But Jason called the judge because he knew something was up, and Saito got banned, and he got kicked off the pro tour. Because whenever you get banned,
so that's not like three strikes. That was like
you're
banned.
Yeah, and I mean sometimes bannings, anytime it's for like just hardcore cheating, it's totally legit. But anytime it's like that. Or with the Guillaume thing, there's always people on both sides of the fence.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, you know, they got screwed, or how can you say they were doing it on purpose and all
and
that.
And Saito was like, he was up to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, new rule. If you've been banned this year, You can't be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Whoops.
Yeah, even though this year they inducted like a felon into the Hall of Fame.
What?
Yeah.
Wait.
When you're in prison, you have a lot of time to learn.
Yeah. That.
Can you tell us more about the felon in the Hall of Fame?
Pat Chapin. He's a pretty well-known guy. I don't know how well-known it's that he's a felon, but...
well, now everybody knows.
But hey, I guess they don't hold that against you.
Yeah, yeah.
What is he a felon for? What did he
sold drugs or something. It was like a drug thing.
Like a heist.
It wasn't a heist. It was for counterfeiting magic cards.
A train full of drugs. I'm pretty sure. 98%.
And then he started his own nation state. Yeah.
Wow. That's just impressive.
It's advanced.
And he had time to play magic? Mm. Now I'm impressed with his time management skills.
Well, talking about
This is the guy who has the rap songs.
Oh. Have you heard those?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have too, unfortunately. You wrote one about Jace.
Yep.
Yes. That's what made... Okay, because you're talking about Jace, it made me think of how we normally start our episodes, which is our lessons that we have learned since our last podcast.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Lessons learned. And my lesson learned was we were doing a second friend draft the other day. Friend draft 2013 2:... The Reckoning. It's the full title.
Yeah.
We might need to parse that down a little bit. It doesn't have quite the punch when you say that much.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, well, anyway, we were playing, and I had a Jace, and I'd never played with a Planeswalker before, and I was playing a game against Megan, and I was really excited to use him. Probably too excited, because I put him out, and he had absolutely no protection or anything. And Megan was just like, see ya, you know?
And that actually reminds me, I think I remember you and David talking about this at one point.
This is my brother. His name is David.
About how the problem with the Jace in Return to Ravnica is that he doesn't have any way to protect himself. Like, Vraska you can play out, and she can destroy a creature.
Yeah, so that's kind of true. He can give all creatures, like, -1/-0 when they attack. So that kind of counts. It helps protect him a little bit. Other than that, it can take a while before you know, sometimes you just want to build up defenses before you even put him down.
Yeah.
That's what I learned. But I also had another question.
Sure.
So you put counters on him. You're like, oh, you... you you little young ones. Okay.
Uh-huh.
To build up his abilities to use later. If that counter on top goes to 0, he's still alive. He's not... That doesn't...
No.
No, 0's dead.
Okay. All right, so still, he's, what is he, 4? He has 4 toughness?
I think he starts with 4.
I would guess that, but I honestly don't know.
I think it's 4.
I think it's 4. It's 4 or 5, I think.
I think it's 4, yeah.
So wait, so the counters that you're putting on him are adding to the 4?
Correct.
Right, so he'll start with 4, and then whenever you use one of the abilities, you either add or subtract that many, and they just stay there.
And when it goes down to 0, he's dead?
Right.
Correct.
Okay, so this was my question. If... Okay.
Just take a moment, Maria. Take a deep breath.
I hope this isn't a dumb question because I was really thinking it up.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so say you've built him up to activate his best
ability.
Oh,
you're
going to
ultimate him. Yeah.
Yes.
Sweet.
And
You've spent a long time...
And you've used, and you're going to use
up. Saved up for years, and you're finally going to buy that new car.
Right. This Hyundai Elantra. Okay.
You have bad credit, so you can't make payments.
But it wasn't my fault. It was my ex-wife.
Yeah, it was your ex-wife. She stole your identity.
Yeah. So it's really, I'm really a stand-up guy. Okay.
I'd vouch for you.
Thanks, bro. Or say you're going to keep 2 on there just to be safe.
Yeah.
And you activate the ability. Can somebody in response, before the ability is resolved, do something that can kill or take 2 points off of him so that technically he would be dead before that ability is used?
You can, I mean, you can kill him in response to the ability, right? In response to activating the ability?
Yeah.
But...
Do you know about the stack?
Yes.
Okay. That ability goes on the stack. So it'll just go on the stack. You can either respond, so kill him in response. Say.
So you could potentially kill him before his awesome thing is activated.
But it's still going to happen no matter what.
Okay.
Yeah. The reason you do it in response, say you were using his -2 ability, and you want to kill Jace in response, because what if one of the cards they're going to get is a counterspell to, like, say you're going to kill it with a lightning bolt or something. And, you know, if you let that ability resolve, they could get a counterspell, then use that counterspell to counter your lightning bolt. Whereas if you lightning bolt it in response, it'll still die. Then you'll get the ability that you paid for.
Oh, yeah. Regardless of the fact that technically he's dead.
Right. It's just like
it's on the stack.
It's just like a creature. If you activate its ability, even if you kill it in response, it's still going to happen. Nothing's going to stop that unless you have something that can, like, actually counter a creature's ability.
I wasn't aware that, you know, because it had been, like, it's killed, therefore it cannot have done its ability. Do you know what I mean?
No, there's a lot of things in Magic that don't really make, like, logical sense. You just have to, like, know how the game works.
Yeah.
And damage used to go on the stack, too. And that was, like...
Those are the Dark Ages.
Yeah, so there was, like, things that didn't make sense at all. Like, you would...
Yeah.
Be about to deal... Do you know Mog Fanatic? It's, like, a 1-1. You can sack it to deal 1 damage, right?
Okay.
So you could, like, put his damage on the stack, and then before the damage is dealt, sacrifice him, but then he still deals the damage he would have dealt, and they change that. But
yeah, so you could, like,
that might have been complicated.
You could, like, block a creature and, like, do damage to it, and then, but, like, before he died, even though he was about to die from combat damage, you could, like, sacrifice him and be like, "Oh, got you twice."
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Huh.
So, like, that creature could do, he's a 1-1, and you can sack him to do 1 damage. So you could do 1 damage, and then do another damage to the same creature.
Yep, or 1 to 2 different guys, or whatever.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was complicated, and they changed the rules to simplify everything.
Mm-hmm. And a ton of pros were mad about that.
Yeah.
Because that is one thing that, even though it makes sense, it's one more layer that people can mess up, right? Like,
yeah.
So the better a player you are, the harder you want it to be to play the game.
Right.
because you understand it, so, you know, screw them if they don't understand it. You know, you can win games that way.
Just easily. Like if you were a really good chess player, you'd be like, well, there should be a rule that everyone has to play standing up.
Yeah.
A lot of chess players have really weak legs.
Yeah, it's true.
That's going to totally do them in.
Tell me about it.
We can move on to our question and answer session. Normally we ask Ben a question.
Ooh.
But this week...
Is someone else going to get asked a question?
I think it's just... We're just going
to... Let's do it.
We're going to ask Dave some questions.
Actually, I have a question
for
Dave.
Okay.
About slow playing. We talked about it a little bit earlier. How do you know, like... When do you call the judge for slow playing? Because you don't want to be, like, a dick about it, right?
You know, that's a good thing to bring up, because I've had this conversation with a lot of friends of mine. I will call a judge for slow play whenever I think it has a good chance of influencing the match. So, and I used to do this more often, because I used to be just pretty, like... I don't want to say cutthroat, but like anytime someone was playing too slow, I would just be like, judge, this guy is taking forever. You know what I mean? Because plenty of times that'll have 50 minutes, you know, for some people it's plenty, but for not, you know. So I would say anytime it's really influencing the match, anytime they're taking a decision, it's taking over 2 minutes or something, it's like, you know, you can't spend 2 minutes to make a decision in Magic. You can maybe one time in a match. But if you have 50 minutes, you know, there's going to be more than 25 turns, let alone 25 decisions. So you it's one of those things that you don't want to do. Some of the times you're doing it, but you just have to call a judge. And they'll just come over and watch for slow play. And honestly, they won't usually do anything. They'll just stand there.
Well, I'm sure the presence of that guy is going to...
Yeah. But that's another thing, too. Like, that definitely will speed him up a little bit. And then anytime you call a judge for anything, If you don't like the ruling, you can appeal to the head judge.
Yeah.
And so there's been like two or three times where I've had to like, I've called someone for slow play. A judge comes over and he just starts talking to a friend or like eating a sandwich, you know, whatever.
Oh, like the judge is not paying attention.
Right. Like, and I mean, it's fair. It's not an like epidemic, these guys aren't getting paid like tons of money or anything. You
all
know
these
I mean?
Judges bring their own
some
sandwiches
get,
in.
Get paid and get
they're
paid
eating
in packs
them or
and,
they're feeding them to each other. Yeah. It's terrible.
It's pretty outrageous. Sexy. Yeah. But the head judge is almost always really on top of stuff.
Okay, and, so you would do that even before you're actually worried about running out of time in the match? Like
I would
early?
Say, anytime
like, if you
I
wait.
Think, well, that's the thing. Like, say there's still 30 minutes left, but you're like, this is going to be a problem. You want to snip it like right away. Because if you wait till there's 6 minutes left,
right,
then it's going to be frantic, and then, you know, he can play those 6 minutes in a timely fashion, probably.
Yeah.
But if it's 30 minutes, you know, he'll have to either play faster, and I say he or she, but... Yeah.
So, what would... Do you think that there's a case to be made for using, like, time clocks, like in chess?
There totally is. That's... Magic Online does that.
Right.
And the reason... The reason they don't do it, I think, is because it'd be so hard to do. But I think on Magic Online, that's
a
lot.
It works pretty well.
It works
on Magic
awesome
Online.
Because you never lose a match because of time.
Unless
it's your fault.
Unless it's your fault.
And then, so in real life, it's never like that in anything. You can get screwed so many different ways, and it feels really terrible to know you're going to win the match in 5 turns, but the time's out.
Oh, shit.
You know what I mean? And it's like, worst. Especially if you played very fast and your opponent played slow, but you're just a nice person or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you gotta, that's one of those things you have to do. You have to call a judge on that. Because otherwise, you're setting yourself up for that situation.
Do you do that even in, like, you know, if it's Friday Night Magic or a draft or
I
something?
Mean, typically I don't anymore or anything. But if someone's playing slow noticeably, I'll usually let them know and be like, you know, you should probably speed up, or you might need to make a decision soon.
Maybe you should roll a die to make this decision.
You keep saying like, I used to. It sounds like you've gotten a lot softer in your old age.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put it that way. It's like a lot more I don't know.
You just said old age. I want the listeners to know, how old are you?
I'm 24.
Pro 24.
I wasn't trying to say that was I wasn't trying to actually say that you're old.
I want to point out that he's very young.
That's over the hill for Magic players, you guys. 24 is like.
That's not true.
Yeah.
It usually takes till you're about 24, 25 to even. A lot of the good players are around that age because. There's so many things to learn, and then, like, when you're young, you don't usually have as much free time, like, if you're in school all the time, and, like, extracurriculars and all that crap, but I didn't start playing competitive till I was about 18.
Okay.
Till I moved to the cities.
What if you started when you were 28? Do you have a chance?
Definitely. There's people that start late. It's way more about like how much time and effort you put in, and there's definitely you know, you have to have a certain amount of, you know, intelligence and stuff. It's not like something anybody can do, but most people that I know that play have that potential if they just really you know, put a ton of work in.
Yeah, it's mostly about the amount of time you're willing to put into it, I think.
Definitely.
So let me just ask you, just as, so people can get to know the real you.
Right. The real Dave.
Well, first, I would just want to point out this weird thing that you and I went to the same high school, Dave.
What?
Same hometown, yeah.
High school reunion.
Yeah, right here. Today.
Today.
But you were like, I don't know, 3 or 4 grades.
4 years. Yeah.
4 years behind me?
Well, I was 4 years behind my sister.
Yes, then that's the case.
Okay.
Because your sister's in my grade.
All right, cool.
Weird. Did you ever have my mom or dad for class?
I think so. Your mom did speech, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
Weird.
You guys, my dad was notorious as being the most difficult teacher
in the high school. All of the listeners should go look up yearbook photos of Maria now.
I don't think my yearbook's on there.
The cloquet.
It will be by the time this episode is up.
Okay.
I think the millions of viewers will.
Yeah.
Dredge it.
They'll find it. They'll crowdsource it.
I have a picture of one of my yearbook pictures on my iPad.
Why?
Okay.
Don't ask why. Okay. Megan, continue this interview.
Oh, all right. Hold this. Oh, you're getting it. Okay.
Getting it.
I thought you were just awkwardly handing me the microphone. So while Maria is fetching yearbook photos of herself, do you want to tell us a little bit about the different types of tournaments that you've played in, or the different types of tournaments there are?
Yeah, for like hardcore competitive Magic, there's PTQs is kind of like the lowest.
Stands for
Pro Tour Qualifier.
Yes.
And so that's, you know, like anybody can go, anybody can win. And
anybody with $30.
Yeah, anybody. It's 40 now. They're really. I think it's 40 for limited, 30 for constructed.
Sure.
Inflation, guys. It's ruining the Magic economy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, it's really hard to play Magic for a living. Like, there's people who try to do it, and it's more of like, yeah.
It's kind
of
like trying to do improv for a living.
Yeah.
It's a supplement. Yeah. All right, are you ready?
I'm totally ready.
We're going to see the yearbook photo.
This is my senior.
Oh! I got a preview.
The listeners at home probably won't be able to see this because of our audio-only format.
Yeah, well, if they try hard
but
enough.
I'll describe it in vivid detail. Whoa!
Oh.
That's right, you guys. This dress is peacock
feathers. Are you sure that's you?
What do you mean?
I'm just asking. All right.
It looks like you might have abducted someone from the cast.
Okay, she looks like she is a flamenco dancer because of the dress she's wearing. And her hair is like out of the late 80s, I'd say.
This is 2002.
Yeah, it's 2002 picture. Wow, this is like glamour shots.
I know.
All right, so we were talking about types of tournaments. Do you want to go back to that?
Yes, please.
Okay. Yeah, okay, Pro Tour Qualifier. So those usually have between like 100 and 250 people, depending on where it is.
Yeah.
The one I won was 190, or the recent one I won was 190. And that's kind of big, but like some of the California ones will get more than that.
Yeah.
And so it depends where you live. There's Grand Prix, which are awesome. They're, I don't know how many there are a year, probably like 30 to 40.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every weekend, and those are around the world. A lot of the pros will go to those because you can get pro points, which is like pro points is how you stay on the pro tour without winning these
people. Right, that's how you stay qualified for it.
Yeah.
So once you're on the pro tour and you win enough points, you can just stay on. You don't have to re-qualify every time. Can be a headache.
Yeah, and depending on how many points you have, you might get free airfare, you might get you basically get money for showing up.
Yeah.
So they don't usually, I don't know if they give you airfare.
High roller suites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
High rollers.
Free drinks.
Free drinks.
Women.
Totally, yeah.
Like a bucket.
A bucket, yeah. They give you a bucket just to carry your stuff in.
Well, for your slaves to carry
gives
your stuff
you,
in.
Gives you an advantage all over the non-bucketed players who are just, like, holding all their stuff.
Those idiots. You look cool.
So that's a Grand Prix, and so PTQs don't have cash prizes, but Grand Prix do, right?
Yeah. They have cash prizes, and then the top four, or I think starting this new year, if there's over 1,000 people in top eight, all get airfare and qualification to the next pro tour.
Sweet.
Which they didn't used to ever give out airfare. They'd give you the qualification at a Grand Prix, but airfare is a pretty big deal for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because a lot of Magic players don't have that much money, you know what I
mean? Right.
Or
especially if the pro tour is, you know, in Europe or something, or
yeah,
they're from Europe or Asia.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten airfare?
Yeah, no, I just won a PTQ to Montreal, so that
and that included airfare.
Includes
right?
airfare.
Okay.
Then I've also won one to Philadelphia and one to Paris.
Oh, sweet!
Holy cow!
Wow.
Paris was awesome.
Yeah, and I think a lot of, like, what I've heard from a lot of pros is that, like, you know, they don't necessarily make that much on Magic, or, like, maybe they break even, but they get to, you know, travel to all these different places, and they help, like, mitigate their vacation costs by winning occasionally, and they, like, get to have fun.
Friends, too. Yeah. Like, a lot, you meet so many great people and, like, different people, because they're from around the world. And,
right, exactly.
And a lot of the time, the pro tour is to do well, you're going to have to work with other people, either building a deck or, like, even just borrowing cards and stuff. But usually people, like, get in teams and, like, you know, because there will be constructed formats where they'll try to come out with something great. And at Paris, there was a deck that nobody knew about called Cobblade, and it, like, became, like, the best deck. Yeah, it was really good. Nobody knew about it, and it dominated the tournament.
It had Jason in it.
It did
guys.
Have Jason in it.
It had Jason in it.
C-A-W?
Yeah, it was called Cobblade because
it was only Jason Birds.
There's a card called Squadron Hawk that no one had realized was good, I think.
Correct, yeah.
What was
Except with Fauna Shaman decks, but that was nothing.
No one had combined it with the power of Jace the Mind Sculptor. Yeah.
So what was that card?
It's just a 1/1 flyer for 2 mana. It's a white card. And when you put Squadron Hawk into play, you can search your deck for any number of cards named Squadron Hawk and put them in your hand.
Yeah.
Wow. Which on the surface is like, okay, that's kind of cool, but it's just a 1/1 flyer, right? Like, it's not that great.
It had so much synergy in that deck.
Yeah, the thing that was cool about it was that one of Jace's abilities was that you could draw 3 cards and then put 2 back on the top of your library. And that's really good, but it's even better when you have a way to shuffle your deck, because then you can shuffle away cards that you just don't need. Mm-hmm. And so Squadron Hawk lets you shuffle your library.
Or say you play a Squadron Hawk, you go get 3 Squadron Hawks, right? You use Jace, you put 2 Squadron Hawks back on top of your deck, then you play another Squadron Hawk and go search your library for those 2, you know, either you're drawing 3 cards with Jace, so that was really good. Also, the deck had Stoneforge Mystic, which is this card that puts equipment in the play for free.
Yeah.
Didn't
Stoneforge Mystic and Jace both get banned?
They did. Actually, one of the PTQs I won was with the Cobblade.
Yay!
Because that deck was just broken, just so good. I didn't even lose a match that PTQ.
Nice.
Because every time you'd sit down across from somebody, if they weren't playing Cobblade, you were happy. Because the deck was just so, so good.
Wow.
Kind of got sidetracked, I guess.
So good that it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, no, they banned
it. Yeah, they had to remove those cards from existence.
I want to make a deck of Jace and only birds.
Let's do it.
And call it.
What are you going to call it?
I'm going to call it.
Base.
Base. I love it.
You guys, birds don't have bladders.
I didn't know that.
Why do you think they poop just whenever?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's messed up.
That must be annoying for Jace to have to hang out with all those birds.
Yeah. Well.
His house is filthy.
Yeah, because you have to let him in the house.
Yeah. They can't, I mean, especially in winter.
You can just leave all your birds outside in the middle of winter.
I'm pretty sure
but did you know this? If you have a tortoise, you can falsely hibernate it in your crisper drawer in your fridge for winter.
Jesus Christ, Maria. How many turtles do you have in the house?
Who wants to open my fridge?
Oh my God. That's amazing.
I learned that yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So you can just put your tortoise to sleep.
Yeah, if you're like, I don't want to deal with you for 3
It doesn't minutes. Even have to be your tortoise. Put anyone's tortoise to sleep. That's why owning a tortoise, that's why no one owns a tortoise. It's such a huge liability.
And it's a lifelong commitment.
That tortoise could outlive you, especially if you leave it in your freezer.
CRISPR. Freezer would probably just kill. Yeah. Probably just kill your tortoise.
Oh shit, you guys. I gotta go.
Okay, well, the more you know, once again.
Yep.
So why don't I ask you, Dave, what are why would you tell somebody to start playing Magic if they had never played before?
Why would you do such a thing?
Right, Megan and I, when did we, how long ago did we start?
October.
Maybe a little
later
than
and
that.
And really, I only taught you guys, like, sarcastically. I'm like, oh, you guys should play this game. And then they're like, yeah, we really like that game. It's like, oh, okay.
Magic's pretty great. It's a competitive, it's a competitive format. So, like, there's a lot of people who are really competitive, but they're not necessarily, physically fit, so they can't, or they're not good at basketball or
golf. Yeah, I have weak knees.
You should try chess.
Some people like chess, but chess is the type of game where the best person should win every single time. There's not consistent, like Magic is different, always changing. There's always new cards, there's always new formats. You could be the best 1 week, but then like the formats will change. You have to adapt. You have to, and that's like the fun of it. So I guess the reason I would say, or what was the question? Why would you tell
somebody to learn it?
Because it's a great thinking game that has just so much depth, and it's got its own community. I mean, it's just like a whole small little world within the one of the things some of my friends say and I say is like as a joke, right? But like we'll call people who don't play Magic muggles. And that's one way of looking at it. You know what I mean? Because it's just they're completely blind to it. They don't even know it's there, right?
And but that was us. That was us.
We were muggles once.
Aren't you guys so glad I demuggled you?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it's such a great game. A lot of my best friends play, and I met so many people from it, and some people get to go all over the world and play, but even if you're just playing with your friends or whatever, it's
pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet, yeah.
Awesome.
I'll ask, what advice do you have for new players to
specifically
improve?
if you want to get better?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, first is like not to get overwhelmed, because Magic, when you first start playing, it's one of the hardest games to just learn, because whoever's teaching you, doesn't matter who it is, probably doesn't completely want to teach you because it's just so much work. And then there's just, it's so hard to do because it's like, oh yeah, and then there's this thing called vigilance. You just don't tap your guy. And like half
so then
the time,
I can attack with him on the first turn, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's just so many different rules, and like, it's really overwhelming to try to learn them all at once. So a lot of new players kind of get scared away by that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Case in point, we had our friend draft this past week. Mm. And even though Maria and I have been playing since October, a couple of times a week probably.
Yeah.
I still several times had to yell across the table at Ben to try and figure out exactly what was going on rules-wise.
But I should point out that Megan won that friend draft.
It was very prestigious, guys. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
So that would be the first. It's just not to get overwhelmed, not to get like, I don't know. A lot of my friends in the past have gotten like upset or like, it's because there's just so much crap you have to learn.
Yeah.
So like that's the first step, is just learning how to play. And there's a bunch of different formats, and there's like drafting and all that crap, and like explaining that to someone who doesn't even know what Magic is so hard to do. And it's a really hard game to learn, but that's why people love it so much, is because it's so complex and like so hard to play perfect, and it's so hard to, whatever. So that would be the first piece of advice. The second piece of advice would be like, a good thing for new players to do is just read articles, because there's like, you can read articles on tons of different sites, and a lot of them are free. If you want to read Star City Games articles with professional felon Pat Chapin, you're gonna have to pay.
professional
but
felon.
Like Channel Fireball doesn't make you pay, and there's like,
yeah,
other websites, but Channel Fireball is very good. And there's like a book that came out that my friend has that's like the best articles in the last 20 years or whatever. Oh, wow. And that one is like, it's good because it has a lot of the really well done, like beginner, like, okay, this makes complete sense to me. I get, because there's like so many concepts. There's this one famous article called Who's the Beatdown? And that's just basically explaining when to attack and when not to attack. Or like,
right.
You need to decide who's on the offense, who's on the defense.
Right.
And that'll help you make decisions, because there's times you want to play certain cards, you know, when you're on the offense or when you're on the defense. Right. And usually you don't have that mindset. You're just playing and you're like, okay, they're at 18, I'm at 14. But it totally matters what's on the board and stuff. So reading articles is very helpful. I can't say I do it all the time anymore, but I used to read articles all the time.
Yeah.
And they're really helpful. Not all the time. Some of them suck, but, you know, that's anything.
So. Sweet.
And then play. You got to play all the time.
Yeah. You got to rack up hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that it's very important for me because I have a hard time remembering something if somebody tells it to me.
But if it happens to you.
But if it happens to me, or if I make the mistake, I'm 99% sure that I won't do it again, or I'll at least remember it from actively having done it rather than just having known about it in my head.
Yeah, sure.
That's totally true.
Yeah. You need to get that pain. You need to feel that pain so that your brain is like, remember when this hurt me last time? Don't do this again, Maria.
Don't touch the hot stove.
So earlier we mentioned Gatecrash spoilers.
Ooh.
Oh, it's so much fun, guys. Anyways, do you have any favorite sets in particular that have come out?
Oh, man. I have to say, I really, they've recently changed the R&D, the research and development team at Magic, and those are the people who, you know, think up cards and test, and like, I've really liked the last few sets, the way it's been going. Pack Rat is a card that shouldn't have been printed. And I'm honestly surprised they didn't catch that in development.
Yeah, because it's kind of weird.
The first time I looked at that card, I was like, this card's so stupid. Because when you play that card, all you need to do is just make rats with it, and you can't lose, basically.
Mm.
If you try to play any other spell in your hand, you're doing it wrong.
In limited, specifically.
In constructed, that card's not wrong. It's not, like, way too good for constructed. But, like, for limited, in this last limited PTQ season, I mean, that's what it was. It was, so people were opening pack rats.
The season of the rats.
Like, people, anybody could open a pack rat, right? And get to the top 8 of the PTQ, which is kind of cool. Cause like,
kind of cool. My brother did it almost.
Yeah. Well, like, it opens it up to other people, but at the same time, there's no feeling worse than your opponent, like, playing a turn 2 pack rat.
Yeah.
You can't interact with it, so you just know you're going to die in, like, 5 turns.
Yep.
And you just have to sit there and act like you're not screwed, even though you're totally out.
I lost to a pack rat. Cool. It wasn't fun, you guys. Mm-hmm. It wasn't fun.
No, it's terrible. Half the reason I did well in that PTQ is I didn't play against pack rat. I didn't have it either.
But, like, the last set, Innistrad, that was a really good set. I enjoyed that a lot.
Oh, yeah, and I love this set besides pack rat. And, like,
yeah, and Ravnica, too, as well.
Yeah, and Rise of Eldrazi was really cool. I thought that set was really innovative because it was, I don't know, so much different than any other set I've ever played. And my first limited format that I just loved, and I would say I knew very well, was Shards of Alara, that block, Shards, and those three sets. But I would just say the newer the sets, the better. Because, like, the old sets had just huge differentials in power. Like, there were cards that were just so much better than other cards, and all the creatures sucked, and all the spells were just awesome.
Right, and the sometimes the good cards would be at common.
Yeah.
So it was like,
yeah, that too. Yeah, there's so many things wrong. And they've done a lot better job of, like, checking. Yeah, and
they just keep the sets keep getting better, which is like gives me a lot of hope.
Right? Guys, no,
for
that's
the future for our children.
Well, because that was the thing. Like not now, but say 10 years ago, yeah. Magic players were worried there weren't going to be Magic players in 10 years. Because yeah. It's like
that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, because like, it's like no one's buying Pokemon cards right now. You know what I right. mean? Like, sorry not, to say,
well, someone is.
Well, I mean. Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean, though. Like, there isn't, yeah. like, a competitive scene. There isn't, like, you mm-hmm. know, this... But Magic is,
yeah.
like, the only card game besides, yeah, yeah. like, poker and all
that. Especially because people, a lot of people have invested so much in the cards mm-hmm. that, you know, they've worried that, well, am I just throwing my money away? Because yeah. this game is going to, like, die off.
Exactly.
And then no one's going to play it. Just, like... Star Trek, the customizable card game.
Who would have thought that didn't make it? Yeah.
I've got a box ben. Of those cards if you guys want to play. Oh,
I've got some old gems. Nice. Like some Star Wars cards.
Yeah. Cards.
Got a bug with that.
Do you think that Magic is growing in popularity recently? Oh,
definitely. No. Since I started playing competitive Magic, it's been really noticeable. When I started going to PTQs, there'd be around like 120, 130 people. Now Minnesota PTQs have, you know, 190 to 220. So that's almost double, and like a lot everywhere it's getting mm-hmm. bigger. So much so that like they've changed the prizes to at least somewhat represent that. They're starting to Hasbro yeah. owns Wizards of the Coast, and Hasbro's starting to finally give a little bit of money.
Pour some of that Monopoly yeah, money in.
Yeah, back into the system.
Because I find that when I tell people that I play, they either say, me too, number one, or they say, people still play that. But I really do kind of feel like mm-hmm. it's getting bigger.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, it is. Certainly.
But also, I mean, also, like, a lot of the players that they're adding are younger. Like, people mm-hmm. tend to get into it younger, I think.
Definitely.
And then also, like... Yeah, a lot of people have memories of the game. Like, oh, a lot of people played that 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Or that I remember when that was really big 10 years ago.
Yeah, just try describing it to, like, any of your relatives. And they'll be like, oh, I think my son Timmy plays that
Is
game.
Is that like Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah, he's 8 years old, so you're on the pro tour. So have you seen Timmy around or no? It's hard to explain to muggles, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Adorable. Well, I feel like we've come to the moment in our podcast where we talk about our great moments in addiction.
Ooh.
And where we we describe some event from our life which just illustrates the level of our addiction. This week is special, though, because Megan is going to be leaving us for a few months.
Wow.
Oh, man.
I know. And so we have decided to do a gift exchange. This is really from Christmas, but we're going to say it's because...
We're so addicted.
we
buy each other gifts.
Well, the nature of these gifts, yeah. I think. The nature of these gifts.
Oh, sure.
Why don't you get her some meth?
Yeah.
Enjoy this new lifelong
hobby.
It's some
meth that she can sell to buy magic cards.
You guys, I think we just hit a $1 million idea.
Wait, selling meth? I'm pretty sure that's already a $1 million idea.
Have you seen Breaking Bad? Okay, so who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay, Megan, I got you this.
Oh, that's nice.
It is a playmat.
Oh my god. Are you serious?
Yeah, but look at it. So
Megan is in shock.
In order to understand this, you have to know Megan is from San Antonio. She grew up in San Antonio. And I got her the playmat from GP San Antonio.
Oh, wow.
And it's from Thanksgiving 2012.
Can I describe this a little bit?
Yeah, I don't think it's an actual magic card.
Oh, is it not? They usually are.
They just did it because it's Thanksgiving and San Antonio.
I was going to say, that's outrageous.
It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
Heart of turkeys or something.
It's a bunch of turkeys, one of which is wearing a coonskin cap.
Yeah.
Carrying rifles and pistols, defending the Alamo.
Wow.
It is
amazing.
I knew you'd love it.
And supposedly this is like a collector's item or something.
It certainly should be.
I didn't. Oh my this God. Is what the guy.
Tell Megan the
I
cost.
I tried to buy it from. Told me, he's like, this is a collector's item. It costs $100. And I'm like, what? I'm not buying that. And then later he just gave it to me. So I don't really know if that's legit.
That's a $100 mat.
But I looked it up on eBay. I looked it up on eBay and, you know, they had signed copies that were selling. So maybe you can get some cash for that and buy some magic cards or...
That's nice, but I'm not going to sell this for money.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
I figured you'd like that.
Oh my God.
Merry addiction.
Thank you.
Merry addiction.
All right. Okay. Maria, here's your present.
Okay. I feel like I need to describe this wrapping paper.
Okay.
I really like the wrapping paper.
The wrapping paper is pretty cool.
Bring me back to chemistry with Mr. Mirwall.
Mr. Mirwall, that guy.
The wrapping paper is...
He used to eat at Arby's alone. Applebee's alone all the time. It was kind of scary.
Okay, so the wrapping paper is graph paper and it just has like equations written all over it. It's from thinkgeek.com.
Great website.
All right, it's a smallish box. It's about the size of a box of magic cards.
Rip this?
You did.
Sorry.
That's fine.
Oh. Is this relevant?
Taped to the box is a Wikipedia article. Yes. Please read at least the highlighted part.
Okay. Lorwyn is the 66th Magic the Gathering set, 43rd expert leveled set, from the first set in the Lorwyn block, released in October 2007. It is codenamed Peanut.
We'll get to that later.
I should point out... That when I was born...
Yeah, you were codenamed Peanut?
I was codenamed Peanut before I had a name.
Wow, that's ridiculous. I didn't even... That's why I got you this. Talk to your mom. Okay, so read the highlighted part.
Lorwyn is set in a more traditional fantasy world inspired by Welsh folklore.
You guys... Maria is obsessed with the Welsh language and Wales and anything related to it.
She speaks Welsh and goes to Welsh camp.
Maria, say some Welsh. Say something in Welsh.
Rhywbeth yn Gymraeg. That's literally something in Welsh.
Nice. You're welcome. So what this is, actually, is I bought you a set of two of every common and uncommon from Lorwyn and Morningtide, which is the expansion to Lorwyn. So now you have your own Lorwyn cube, Lorwyn popper cube, and we can play with these cards. And some of them are pretty cool. There's some cool cards in there. So,
oh, definitely.
Merry addiction, Maria.
Yay! I'm so excited. I'm gonna just relate all these cards and be like, in the Mabinogion, do you know that this?
You'll have to tell us how legit. How really true to the folklore they are.
So, I will.
Okay.
That's cool. The first limited set I played. Like,
Lorwyn?
Lorwyn?
Yeah. I think that's the first one when I started playing Magic Online, which is when you can really put some time in.
I put a lot of time in.
Yeah, for sure. That was a good set. I remember that being a lot of fun. Although pretty like the board states would get really
Reinforce was really cool like hard to play around and it was all cool. Monocolored.
Alright, I don't know how to work with the US Postal Service or ordering things online so you and Maria's gifts have not yet arrived but I have pictures of them here.
We could probably just pretend that they're real.
We probably could.
Let's do it.
Alright, Ben, I was thinking of something that would complement your Gmail pillow.
My Gmail pillow? Okay, sure.
Yes, and your giant plush Tetris cube.
I have a... Okay, so at home, I have a pillow that is the Gmail icon that my mom made for me for Christmas. And I also have a pillow that is a Rubik's cube that my sister made for me that has, like, Velcro on it so you can, like, take the pieces off and rearrange them. So, nice. All right. So that's the setup.
Well, I don't have the stamina to make anything.
Yeah, who does?
Exactly.
And actually, that Gmail pillow, I saw it on Etsy, and I was like, Mom, I want this for Christmas. And my mom was like, fuck that. I'm not buying this off Etsy. I can make a way better Gmail pillow.
Nice. I admire your mom. Hold on.
She's a classy lady. All right.
What would go better than?
Oh, they are magic. They're Magic the Gathering coasters. They have the mana symbols on them. That's really cool. Thanks, Megan.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm going to look forward to that. I have a lot of surfaces in my home that need to be protected from condensation.
In case anyone walking into your home couldn't already tell that you were a giant nerd, they'll really be reinforced with that message.
My kitchen table is just made out of chalk, so that'll help protect it from the elements.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Maria, yours isn't Magic the Gathering themed. I hope that's okay.
Is it appropriate for all ages?
It is it is appropriate for all ages, but thank you for checking.
No problem.
That just makes me think that there needs to be a set of like adult toys that are magic themed. What do you think?
I think that doesn't need to happen. I'm going to say that I love most ideas, and that one doesn't need to happen.
Wow.
All right, just throwing it out there.
Ready?
But
I'm ready.
Ooh.
Awesome.
I don't know if you can tell, but it's a salt and pepper shaker.
Wow. Okay, so it is a Doctor Who salt and pepper shaker.
I love it.
One is the police box, and I assume the Dalek is the pepper?
It's a Dalek.
The Dalek? Ben. Whatever. So Maria really likes Doctor Who, or whatever, I guess.
It's on my shirt.
She's wearing a shirt that has like a playing card, and like, but instead of like a king or a jack, it's Doctor Who. But it kind of looks like Conan O'Brien a little bit. Yeah.
50% of the time people think this is Conan. 50% they realize it's the Doctor.
Yep. Cool.
All right, guys. Thank you.
No
Thank
problem.
You.
Cool.
Here's yours. They are the same. Now this is a proxy because they're not done. Because
is it a proxy magic card?
Because this, I underestimated how long it would take to make these.
Okay.
But it's going to be a cross. It's going to be a cross stitch for you.
Made?
It's custom made.
Them? What?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they're partially done.
Wow. Okay, so I'm looking at a cross stitch pattern that says friendship is magic. And of course, magic is in the magic font. And then there's like three little faces, and one of them has my hairdo, and one of them has Megan's hairdo for now, and one of them has Maria's hairdo. Oh, thank
you, Maria.
Oh my
God. That's amazing.
Wow. This is going on my wall. Or in my fridge.
One of the two.
In the CRISPR.
Thank you.
In the CRISPR.
You guys, that's I'm going to so hibernate. Sweet. I'm going to force hibernate my cross stitch.
Yay.
That was inspired because you guys, I think it was Ben who said we were playing one time and I was being a little jerk and I was like, well, I've beat you now more times than you've beat me or something. And Ben said, it's not the number of games that you win. It's the number of friendships you gain. And I was like, put that on a pillow.
Put that on a pillow.
And as soon as I said that, I knew what I was going
to
make.
You had to do it. Yeah. Aw, thanks, Maria. All right, so now, Dave, we all got together and we bought you this iPad. Here you go.
Give me my iPad back.
Yay! All right. Is that all? Is that all for the podcast this
yes,
week?
Yes, that's it for this week.
Sweet. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Dave.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave.
Hey, thanks so much for coming. Is there any final words you want to give to our listeners?
Wisdom.
Do you want to plug? Anything you want to plug?
Man.
Any projects you got going on?
Not really.
Catch him in Montreal.
I'll be in Montreal.
Okay, everyone, root for Dave Yetka in Montreal. Are you on Twitter? Are you going to be tweeting?
You know, I'm not. I'm on Facebook.
Okay, sweet.
So I'm not that old school, but...
Nice. All right. Well, follow the Pro Tour coverage, and maybe Dave will walk away with some money.
Nice. Toodaloo. take us out, Lynn?
Sing us out. So I missed a million miles of fun.